Hallelujah. Pastor Miwa said something just now. He said, there is no ordinary meeting. There's no meeting that is casual. There's no ordinary meeting. And just, that's just the basic truth. I remember some years ago, there's this time that we used to have a midweek service in Pastor NY's house in Bagada. So one day, I don't know if it was hunger or maybe I was too hungry. I was just in a hurry to get home and eat or something. And then I forgot that there was midweek service and I ran home. As soon as I got to my gate, I remember that we're supposed to have midweek service. I ran back. In fact, my wife was there and said, you're not entering this house. You're going back to service. Hallelujah. And guess what? I was so blessed in that meeting. We are not many, but that word, just like he said, is powerful. There is no ordinary meeting as long as God's presence is there. Hallelujah. Amen. We have also seen where lives got transformed. Pastor Munga has shared several times how they used to have meeting at, in Setman's father's garage and stuff like that. There is no ordinary meeting. It doesn't matter whether it's under a tree. It doesn't matter whether it's in a classroom. It doesn't matter whether it's in a house where we just break bread or biscuit or something. As long as God's presence is there, that's just what makes the difference. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Your word tells us that the entrance of your word gives light and brings understanding to the simple. Father, we pray tonight that you take these lips of clay and speak to us, teach us in the way we will understand, and that no life here will remain the same. Those present here, those online, no one will remain ever the same again. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. All right, tonight briefly, we'll be looking at the part two of love. The way to victory. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember that I touched on part one some time back. It was just so impressive. I was preparing something else entirely, but the Spirit of God was just hammering on it in my heart to share this. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. Hallelujah. I just took my pen and I just started taking down scriptures that he would have me share tonight. All right, the aspect of love, the way to victory I want to talk about tonight is one that is, one of the things, I remember I was sharing with my wife recently about something I experienced growing up. There was a time in our house where nobody except myself was going to church and terrible things were happening. One of those times, I'd put the things I wanted to wear to church, my clothes, and I've polished my shoe, put it outside, and I just went into bed, and before I came outside, I saw my things soaked in water by one of my wonderful siblings. Hallelujah. You know, that time, you look, come out, and you look, and like, ah. It's like you are with the devil in your house. You know? These are the kind of things we see even in the scriptures. What was really Joseph's crime? What was Joseph's crime? He simply told his brothers his dream, which was not bad anyway. He simply told the brothers his dream. And that became an offense. All right. So love the way to victory. The aspect we'll be looking at tonight is, what do you do in the face of people doing things that are contrary to what you expect? You carry out love, you show love, and what you're getting in return is the opposite of what you expect. What do you do? What to do? Hallelujah. I also discovered as I was studying that in the Old Testament, the Jews were used to one thing only. And that's why when Jesus started, as it was recorded in his first statement on prayer, according to the book of Matthew 5. Jesus started by saying that talking about the old laws, talking about the addressing the old laws before showcasing the new that he was going to show to them. He said, I know that you have heard that it has been said. So it's a law that was there. So the Jews, they were known, they were used to this way, this pattern. What's that pattern? Slap me, I slap you back. Give me goals, I give you bars. No time. Eye for an eye. It was a normal practice. It was okay. It was okay. Tooth for tat. Do me, I do you. We say God not the best. God the best. So. Hallelujah. Because he said, vengeance is mine. Hallelujah. As I was studying, I discovered that in the recent, you know that I've always given this example. Mona Chikom. Because sometimes we need to start to get to the point where we understand certain things. Now, merely looking at Munachi, this is my wonderful son. Merely looking at Munachi and me now, who is bigger? It's obvious that I'm bigger than him. It's obvious that I'm more powerful than him. Right? So Munachi kongada liver. He can come, say, he wants to fight me. You can imagine this small boy challenging me to a fight. And then before I could say Jack Robinson, he jumps and gives me a slap. Every other person, don't try it. Pastor will not save you. So he jumps and wish, you know. Now only worry after they see that kind of a thing. Somebody that's small like this can, in fact, he will use the mouth to deplete you. Say, now be body science. Leave all this gym where in the gym. I will less all these things. You know? And so he jumps and show me braggado. Everybody that is present will say, hey, this boy don't finish himself. I mean, that's what people say. Now, my ability to forgive, to express love and forgiveness and not and just let go like nothing happened, like he didn't do anything, is the actual expression of my strength over him. Because in the flesh, what is expected is that, give back, go back, finish so that you people will not see that, I ain't putting here for lying your mouth. But the real strength, as described by scripture, is when I'm able to forgive. It will break me, it will make me look stupid. That, what's wrong with this man? Come on, finish. But real strength is my ability to say, I know you don't know what you're doing. Thank you, God bless you. You can go to your seat. And then I forgive and I move on. Amen. It's stupid in the eyes of the world, but in the sight of God, that is real strength expressed. Hallelujah. So we can begin to understand some of the things why Jesus would say that things that look wise in the kingdom, they look stupid in the ways in the eyes of the world. So in the Old Testament, it was okay. It was a norm. It was a normal practice. Give me Exodus chapter 21. Let's just see. Exodus 21 quickly. Exodus 21, verse 24 and 25. Yes, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So do me, I do you. Those bars. God know the verse. It was normal. Normal. Bone for bone, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. It was okay. That's the only thing they knew. They do not understand anything like forgiveness, love. They don't. This was normal. You keep my donkey, I take your own back. Replacement. Bakam. In fact, if you read down further down to I think verse 26 or 27, you see where if you have a slave, you're supposed to own the slave for life, right? Now, according to their old testament, their old laws, if mistakenly or accidentally you blind an eye of the slave or mistakenly cut one of the arm of the slave, you are mandated to let go the slave. That's the only ground on which you can free the slave because he's supposed to be your slave for life. But having done that, the only thing that avert that revenge because the slave cannot kill the master or do something back to the master. So the slave has gained his freedom. I just wonder how some slaves would deliberately go and put their eye for Oga spoke so that they can gain their freedom. That's the only ground on which a slave can be free. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. I better make I put my eye so that God just so that I can I've gained my freedom. I can jackpa, so he can go. You can imagine how strong their laws are. The only thing they understand is judgment, retribution. That's just it. Nothing like forgiveness, nothing like love expressed or anything. Hallelujah. I thank God for grace. I remember it was Sepman that asked that question the other time. Okay, Pastor Mewa was doing one teaching and I talked about law and grace. Yes. So, I just thank God for grace because just imagine now, just imagine that even with all the love being preached, all the grace and forgiveness being preached, I was going somewhere with Mrs. Sajeri the other day and then I saw, we saw a little crowd and when I stretched my neck and looked very well, it's one guy, he bashed a woman's car. And you know what that means in Lagos? When you bash somebody's car and it's a woman, especially if the car gets stickers like, I'll be lawyer, trouble at my work, you know that you have entered. Crowds, you think don't they form traffic? I say, amen. Even in the dispensation of grace, some people will still hold out. Oh, Sister Remy, sorry. But it's not you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So Matthew, let's see Matthew chapter 5, from verse 43 to 48. That's why when Jesus, this is the record of Jesus' first statement on prayer. And first thing he told them was to pray for our enemies. That's the first thing he told us. Matthew chapter 5. From verse 43 to 48. So Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. You have heard that it was said that that was the law, even in the time of our fathers, that it was okay to hate your enemies. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, it's you. Amen. Have you been used before? Have you been persecuted before? I have. I've been in that place where going to church was a crime, was a serious crime. I told the story how, I think it was that one where my clothes were soaked and I managed to find a short and I ran to church just because I didn't want to miss the teaching. I didn't want to miss service. And I sat at the back because I couldn't come close to the instruments because I was wearing short. And then they had hidden my clothes. Even the one that I brought us, I wanted to wear to church, they had soaked it. So I managed to, I just carried my Bible, wore short and t-shirt and stayed at the back. And then my pastor didn't understand. Merely seeing me at the back was something else. And then from here, he scolded me, say, stand up! And you know that kind of a thing, like, and he scolded me badly. There, it's just like the ground should just open and I should enter. But thank God, I think it was after close of service, the wife was going home and then passed through and overheard where my mom was scolding my siblings for what they did. She said, so this was what happened. So she invited me over to their house and the pastor was talking to me and, you know, it's not the time to begin to nurse all those, you know, like we saw something that happened very recently on the internet space about a sister that was scolded openly, even after sharing a testimony. And then the pastor said, that's a lie. Just imagine that it's you. Pastor has even finished me. So let me just kukuma. Somebody say, let me just kukuma, go and glorify the devil. I think it was, what's his name again? Forgotten his name now. That was saying, talking about the songs that they sing. They deliberately wrote songs specifically to glory. He said, the songs that they sing, they worship the devil. I think that's the guy that sang Pass Me Your Love or something. I can't remember. That one with Terry G. He said it. He said it practically. He said, it's all for the devil. So there are lives that have made up their mind that it's me and the devil. But thank God for the dispensation of grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God that he gave us the opportunity to turn a new leaf. And so, continuing from where we stopped, that's why Jesus was trying to make them unlearn the things that they have learned. Because these are stories like the scripture person will always read for us, Romans 15:4, that the things that were written for our learning. So they have this habit of all this culture of always learning messages, lessons are passed from generation to generation. So you see them talk about what their fathers practiced. Is it in the law of Moses? They were even challenging Jesus when he was teaching them some things that they were not used to, that they were not, you know. So where did we stop? Yes, he said that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Amen. Next, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. I know when you mention perfect, just as your Father is, everybody will say, no one can be perfect. Oh, yes, we can. Hallelujah. How many of you believe we can be perfect? I believe. Because it's by help. It's by grace. It's not by works. Hallelujah. He said, we can. Jesus talking to us, he said, for as I am, just as the Father is, that's how I am. He said, and you will be like that also. Hallelujah. No wonder I said to us, he said, it's to your advantage that I go. He said, it's better that I go because I'm sending to you the Comforter. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And then, lo, he will be with you even to the end of the age. He said, greater things shall ye do. Hallelujah. So the old law was what they were used to, what they lived by, what they practiced. A life of judgment and retribution. Let's see the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Verse 8. Romans 5, 8 to 10. So he said, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me take this last part, 11. It said, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Hallelujah. He said, if God so loved us that even while we were yet sinners, so we were just doing, what do you call it? Yoruba would say jai jai. We were just living our life and like we were grooving and rolling in sin and doing all manner of stuff, living in filth. But he loved us. He loved us and gave his son to die for us, to cleanse us. He had made preparation, the plan of restoring us back to the place of oneness with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see the popular scripture, John 3, verse 16. This love is so strong. It's the love that compelled him to do what he did. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it's a different face entirely from what was practiced. This love compared, this love brought about this change that we experience now. So instead of the revenge, instead of the do me, I do you, living in wickedness, living in judgment and retribution, what is expressed now is love, the type that we have seen the Father show towards us. The type that the Father has shown towards us. That's the kind of love life that we live. Living the love life. Hallelujah. Amen. Love, the way to victory. Love, the way to victory. So in our expression of love, in our living a life of forgiveness, living a life of expressing that grace that has been shown towards us to our fellow man. He said, I know you have heard that do me, I do you. I know you have heard eye for an eye. He said, but I bring you a new law. And what is that? Love your neighbor. Love those who hate you. Love those who curse you. He said, bless them. They curse you. What would have happened in the time of old is to curse back. He said, but no, bless them. Because when you bless them, it doesn't take anything from you. Rather, you have sown a good seed. You have planted a good seed. They don't know better. That's why they do some things they do. Yes, people, so many people you see around, they don't know better. If they know better, they will act better. They will do better. So, if you go and say, okay, you come across them and say, ah, your papa, and then you respond back, your mama, you are not showing anything different from who they are. It's normal with them. And so they can fall in the gutter and do all manner of things and do rougher, rougher. But when you show and express what you know, which is a love life, you are actually introducing a new seed to their lives, which is the soil. And then they begin to like, this person is different from you. This is not mad like us. And then they begin to, they're observing. After a while, you see them, they begin to change also. They begin to change also. Amen. I remember the story that Sedman told us about what's that guy now? That strong guy that will say, my Jesus, man pass. That's it. It's only a matter of time. You see people begin to transform based on your reaction. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So now God is telling us to do the same thing he did. What's that? The love that I've expressed towards you, express it to people also. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so it says, like I said, he's teaching us to do the things that he did to love our enemies. As much as that is not easy to do, give me Galatians chapter 5, sorry. As much as that is not an easy task to do, he didn't say it is impossible. In fact, it is possible to do it. Give me Galatians 5, 6. Yes. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through what? Love. As I read that, I found out that, you know, I think I've heard our pastors here teach about faith that worketh by love and all that. And something hit me. And I wrote it down. I said, if you're not walking in love, your faith won't work. If you are not walking in love, your faith won't work. It's that simple. Because faith walk through love. Hallelujah. Faith walketh by love. Amen. If your faith is failing you, in fact, when you stand in the place of prayer and you are praying over something or you are trusting God for something, and if your faith is failing you, most times, like I like to tell people, you need to check up on yourself. check up on yourself. And how? Most times, check up on yourself in your love walk. In your love walk. Someone once said, yes, you have apologized, I've forgiven you, but you can just stay in your own. And No. Where love is expressed, you won't stop there. You will take it the extra mile to show that you have really put it aside, because Jesus did not just clean or cover the sins we have committed. What he did was he cleansed it like we never lived before. So, ability to practice what he practiced emphasizes that we must let go. Somebody said, okay, yes, I've forgiven you, but from now, as you see me, pass your maker, pass my own. God, not the verse. No, you didn't tell us that. Yes, I know we have experienced some things that hurt us, but I'll share this testimony with us. I think I've shared it before. That was when we were still at Magrelos, very many years ago. I remember then, I used to be asthmatic, and not only that, I was even using an inhaler. And then I remember that I had this terrible migraine constantly that was always worrying me. Terrible migraine. That migraine, be like that one they sent from village. Very, very terrible. And then, I think it was Setman that was preaching. I was teaching that period and all that. And then, he talked about forgiveness. As common as that. Forgiveness. As Setman was teaching, in my mind, I was saying, oh, you know, this people from this side, their life not pass one man, one wife. I said, this man is not from my family, so he won't understand. He doesn't know where I'm coming from. Amen. And that's God's way of doing things. When God is dealing with you, don't try to put up an excuse. Hallelujah. Don't try to put up an excuse. Amen. And then he gave a word and he said, there's somebody here. The only thing you need is just to forgive that person. Hey! I say, if my stepmother was Setman's stepmother, he will not preach this message. Hallelujah. So, for love's sake, but if you, this woman was, it's that kind of, if prayer they kill, you know, so, but, now, yes, how, yes, how tough it was. When Setman gave that word, I struggled with it. I struggled with it. But then, like I said, we were still in Magrelos that time. And then, all of a sudden, something happened. I broke down within me. To tell you how tough it was, I was crying in the meeting. The cry came from, Lord, I let go. I forgive. For all that she has done to me, I forgive. No matter what it is, I forgive. In fact, merely remembering some in my head, I said, Lord, I let go. I forgive. I forgive for everything. And that was it. After the service, I remember making calls, a few calls, and when my brothers would, they would come and say, hey, this, call her name. And I say, I've let go, please. You people should do the same. Everybody should just forget about this matter and that. They say, you, how could you forgive a thing? How can you forgive a thing like this? How can you forget it? I have let go. I've moved on. Especially that my brother would always say, if my father had not died. So it was difficult for him to let go. But I said, bro, move on. I don't work out. And I let go. I didn't even remember how that those two terrible amen that was worrying me, how they left. But I know that migraine stopped. I stopped using that inhaler. I never had any asthmatic attack again. Never after that time. Amen. So each time you abort things or you have something you have ought against or something or whatever it is, like Jesus described, he said, even when you have somebody that has offended you, not be saying that you offend. Now the person offend you. He said, don't give your offering. Go make peace with the person. God forgive first. It's that strong. Hallelujah. It's not for saying that they offended. It's saying, you, when they offend, let go before you come give your offering. But I tell you what happened. After forgiving and letting go, I got healed. Now me, they offend. Now me, they sick. I got healed. Pastor did not need to come and pray for me to get healed. I got healed after I forgave. So there are things you are holding on to. There are things you are sitting on that you just won't let go. You say, no, no matter what, Eli, may heaven fall. Eh? I will never. This one, I wrote it down. You wrote June, so, day 19 or 2020, and you wrote it down. My brother, my sister, let go. Because in the long run, there are issues like what I read. If your faith is failing you, you need to check up on yourself in your love walk. Because somewhere, somehow, there are prayers that will never be answered in your life. If you like, fast and pray. If you don't walk in love, you will never get certain answers to that prayer. Hallelujah. Faith walketh by love. Amen. Amen. Let's see what Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 said. You know, failing to walk in love can affect your health and your life also, like I just explained. It can affect your health. Seriously. Seriously. Yeah, I was dying of asthma and migraine. Let love be without hypocrisy. Romans 12. Okay, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. So what the Bible is actually saying is preferring to do good even to another person than myself. Preferring to express love to the other person than myself. Not me, myself, and I. But expressing love, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. The love of Christ. The agape love. Let it be expressed. Let it be expressed. You see this love thing? This love thing. That's what I was going to title this before. This love thing. Sometimes it sounds crazy, like it's impossible to do, but it's very, very possible. It's responsible for the reason why some people are sick. If they just change, forgive, and let go, and walk in love, you see health has come. You see healing has come. For someone, it's because someone talked to your mother somewhere and said, I will never, can he talk to my mother like that? I will never. Even your Jesus take insult, not to talk of your earthly mother that is just dust. May God help us in Jesus' name. So like I said, failing to walk in love can affect your health. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, quickly. Deuteronomy 4, 40. So the Bible told us in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, so that it may be well with us and so that we will have a prolonged life. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, it says, you shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Hallelujah. Let's see Proverbs 3:16. You can have length of days. So somehow you determine how long you want to live by the things you do, by the way you love life you live. It's a length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. So there are things we don't ordinarily need to pray for. They just come by virtue of our expressions, the way we live. Hallelujah. Just by the way we live. Amen. Proverbs 9:11. Proverbs 9:11. It says, for by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Amen. Look at 10:27 also. Just flip over 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. He said, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be what? Shortened. The years of the wicked will be shortened. Chapter 28, verse 16. Proverbs 28, 16. Proverbs 28, 16. Look at what it says. Proverbs 28, 16. Hallelujah. So there's so many things we can experience. It said, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. So there are actions. There are things that we just express. There are things we do as a lifestyle, as, you know, normal. And then you see that they play a great role in all we do. Psalm 89, verse 45, please. Quickly, we'll just rush through the scriptures as we get ready to close. Psalm 89, verse 45. It says, the days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. Hallelujah. 102, verse 23. Psalm 102, 23. Sorry, Sister Remy, I know I'm putting you on your toes now. Sorry, but we just quickly need to hurry up. Okay, he weakened my strength in the way he shortened my days. Exodus 23, 25. Exodus 23, 25. Two more scriptures and then we're done. Exodus 23, 25. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. 26, let's see 26. Just the next verse. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Do you see, he's talking about long life. He's talking about good health. He's talking about prosperity. He's talking about riches. He's talking about honor. He's talking about so many things based on conduct. We pray, yes. It's not everything that we pray about. If you want a phone, okay? If you have a phone, you don't go asking your father for what you already have. You can ask for what you don't have or what you want or what you need. But you see, he's saying that there are some things you can also get from your father as well that you don't even need to ask. They just come handy. Based on how you live, they just come. Praise God. Our ability to live by this word opens certain doors. Even without us opening our lips to ask for anything, you just get doors open for you. Prayer is good, yes. We pray. We can't do without it. But I'm saying there are doors that are open based on certain things that you do. Like when you live a life of gratitude, always thanking God, always thanking God, always, you are opening channels of more blessings to come. Hallelujah. That's just how it is. Praise God. Let's see Galatians 15, 26. And then lastly, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Galatians 15, 26. Okay. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. 15. What did I call? Galatians, sorry. Exodus 15, 26, sorry. Sorry, please. Exodus 15, 26. Yes, and said, if you diligently hear the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Hallelujah. Flip over to 20, verse 12. The same Exodus 20, 12. Since we're here. And then we'll see Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, lastly. Exodus 20, 12. It says, honor your father and your mother. This one's very, very key. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I told the story the other time about how I slapped one boy that was pouring stone, sand, and was insulting his mother. I did that not because fine, it's good to honor parents and all that. I said, but this boy lack understanding that he's shortening his years on earth. He's giving himself, he's pouring, he's like cursing himself that he wants to live a short life by insulting his mother. The Bible says when we honor our parents, naturally what happens is that we prolong our days. We make our life here beautiful, long, and glorifying to God. Amen. Lastly, Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. And then it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. If you like, stand in a place of prayer where you pray, die, 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 and you come and you say, Lord, long life. Long life. If you don't honor your parents, you can't get it by magic. Long life is earned. Long life is earned. Honor your father and mother. That it may say this is the first commandment with the promise. So that so it comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So walking in love is God's way to prosper us, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body is God's way to prosper us. So walking in the God kind of love is the way to prosper in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. When we live in love, practice love, and walk in love, we'll see even our prayer lives. Truth is, let me share this secret with us as we... Let us stand up on our feet. I'll just share the secret before we pray. When this is one of the top secrets I've come to discover. One of the easiest ways to get speedy answers to prayer is when we walk in love. When we walk in love is the easiest and the best way to get speedy answers to prayer when we walk in love. Because walking in love opens channels. You can't come to the one who calls himself love if you do not live in love. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just talk to him tonight? Let's talk to him tonight. Father, thank you for your word. I walk in love. I choose to walk in love. The Bible made me to understand that we are a love child of a love God. We are a love child of a love God. I am a love child of a love God. I choose to walk in love. Yes, it's not easy. Someone has hurt you. It has offended you. Someone said, this hurt, this thing called hurt or betrayal or pain, it comes from people who are not even far. It comes from people who are close. Yes. But even at that, Jesus is closer than anyone. And then if he could express love to us, we can also extend it to others as well. Lord, I choose to walk in love. I choose to walk in love.
I need it.